You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Beverley and Brighton on Tuesday afternoon, Leicester and Newton Abbott in the evening on the domestic front, and we also have an evening card over in Ireland from Ballinrobe as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio for the first part of the podcast anyway is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you, Mark. How are you, sir?
Very well, indeed.
Good.
Pretty good week to look back at. We're going to have a look at some of that in the Monday Jory from the Racing Post.
But, yes.
All in all, did you enjoy Royal Ascot?
I did. I think you'd find it hard not to. Any racing fan would have enjoyed what we saw on show last week. There really was a bit of everything. Whether the two-year-olds are your bag, I think we saw some special two-year-olds on show, whether it's the big field handicaps going through with a fine-tooth comb trying to seek out a bit of value, pick a big price winner, or whether it's just seeing those good older horses contest the group races and seeing them the cream rise to the crop, so to speak. It really was as good a week's racing as we get all year.
Yeah, it really is marvellous. And we've got a bit of an international flavour at Royal Ascot in recent years. Looks as if they're going to target Winx for next year's. She's an Australian superstar, apparently. I don't know much about her, if I'm honest.
No, I can't confess to knowing anything about her myself, but clearly the team behind recruiting international runners at Ascot work hard year in, year out. Ascot's becoming more popular, and we saw a great international flavour. Last week it was arguably the week for the Americans, wasn't it? Be it American trained horses or American stallions, they were the international runners that came to the fore. The Australians didn't show up. They didn't have anything good enough to show up. The horses, Ashin Hakari, the Japanese runner, he unfortunately was disappointed. But the Americans really came and put their marker down on the meeting, starting with Teppin's win in the Queen Anne. And then, of course, we had the likes of Lady Aurelia in the Queen Mary. And, of course, then we saw American stallions such as Scat Daddy producing good winners. So it probably was a week for the Americans.
Bit of other news away from Royal Ascot before we look at the Monday jury. Just because the Irish Derby's warming up quite nicely already. We're going to see, by the looks of it, the English Derby winner, Harzandi. It looks as if he's going to get his ground because it's raining at the Curragh. Looks like he'll get a rematch with US Army Ranger as well, and a few other Aidan O'Brien runners.
Yes.
And Red Vernon might be supplemented. If all these horses turn up, it's going to be a superb renewal.
Yes, an excellent renewal of the Irish Derby. Sometimes we see it cut up, don't we? Not all the main protagonists from Epsom take their place in the lineup, but with the likelihood that the 1, 2, 3 from this year's Epsom Derby are going to show up, and with all three of them being Irish trained, you get the feeling that we could have a real show on Saturday evening. And It'll be very exciting to see whether Harzen can confirm the placings with US Army Ranger or whether Aidan O'Brien's horse improves past him. And I think the ground will play a key part in deciding the outcome.
Yeah, if Aidan O'Brien says that his runners will be US Army Ranger, obviously first and foremost.
Yes.
Idaho as well, who finished third.
Okay.
And it looks like Shogun and Port Douglas will also make up his four in the race.
Okay.
No Derville, though. Looks like they're going to target the Eclipse with him because they're not quite sure he stays.
Right.
And the market looks like this: 5-4 Harzand, US Army Ranger 11-8, 9-2 Idaho, 20s Beacon Rock and Red Verdon, although Red Verdon still does technically need to be supplemented. Moonlight Magic 25s and Shogun 50-1. If I asked you at this point, Sean, Harzand versus US Army Ranger Mark 2, does the result stay the same?
Given what it's doing in Ireland, the ground is soft and it's on the soft side, I should say, and it's raining, I feel that Harzand is the most likely winner at this stage. Following on from the Epsom Derby, I said that I felt on better ground, US Army Ranger might improve past him. I think he's a horse who will appreciate better ground. But I think, given how conditions are likely to be this weekend, I'll side with Harzan to confirm the placings. But we could see a real special rivalry start to emerge between Harzan and US Army Ranger, because, of course, this is going to be their second meeting. And wouldn't it be great to think that there might be another two or three meetings further down the line between these horses, whether it be something like the Prix de l'Arc, the Triomphe, or the Irish Champions Stakes, or the Breeders' Cup. We could see a real rivalry emerge. On this occasion, I think Harzan might get might confirm the placings with US Army Ranger and get two up on him, so to speak. But I don't think that will necessarily be the case for the whole season.
Okay. That's the fifth question of the Monday, Jerry, by the way, so we won't have to revisit that in too much detail later on. But I thought it was newsworthy enough to go to the front of the podcast because a bit of news about the ground and Harzan's likely participation. As we record this, I just want to get your quick thoughts on the July Cup as well before we move on to the Monday jury. We've got the Marto and looks like Twilight Sun in there as well.
Yes.
Richard Fahey's runner as well. A bit of positive noise about Don't Touch, who I was reading has been specifically targeted for this race.
Right.
They've waited for the July Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Going similar route as well with him so far to what they did with Mason back in 2012, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. Don't Touch won nicely at Salisbury recently. He was beaten the time before in a group race up the Curragh. Not beaten very far, it should be said, but he was beaten, and he's still got to improve a little bit to get to the likes of Twilight Sun and Magical Memory, I feel. But given how lightly raced he is, that's not impossible. And the fact that he's been kept for the race may ensure that he goes there a little fresher than some of the others. But he needs to improve to be winning the July Cup, I feel. I think, again, this is going to be a shootout between Twilight Sun and Magical Memory. I just touched on there how Harzan and US Army Ranger are starting to build this rivalry. Well, the rivalry is well and truly there between Magical Memory and Twilight Sun. I think it currently stands at 3-1 to Twilight Sun. But I thought both horses emerged with a huge amount of credit from the Royal Meeting. Twilight Sun, obviously, because he won the Diamond Jubilee, but also Magical Memory because he came from a lot further back than any of the other main protagonists, any of the others that sort of filled the frame or were close to filling the frame. And you maybe feel that if he were ridden more positively, or just more further forward, I don't like to use to say positively because I'm sure Frankie was very positive on him, but he just dropped him in a little bit.
Yeah.
If he was ridden sort of towards the head of affairs, he may have got even closer. It was just the way that the Diamond Jubilee worked out this year. Nothing, they didn't go particularly fast for a Group 1 sprint, hence the French horse was able to lead them for so long into the race.
Yeah.
I do think Twilight Sun is probably the best of the two, but in these top-class sprints, it really is a game of fine margins, and if one were to get a good draw and one were to get a bad draw, that would be the deciding factor. There's so little in it between these two horses.
Yeah, we could see them beating each other all season, really, couldn't you?
You could.
Back and forth.
Absolutely.
Quiet Reflection would be interesting should she go to the race as well, but I suppose the question is three-year-old against the older horses at this stage.
Three-year-old filly as well.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll take her for the July Cup myself. I think further Group 1 targets later in the year await Quiet Reflection. I could be wrong, but certainly the impression you got post-race from Connections was that the July Cup isn't right at the top of their agenda.
Yeah. We'll just spin through the other remaining questions, really, in the Monday jury. Don't have to go into them in all that much detail, really, because we've already spoke about the July Cup and the Irish Derby. What were your standout moments of Royal Ascot Week, if I asked your standout performance?
I think I'd pick three. In terms, the standout performer for me was Lady Aurelia in the Queen Mary.
Blew them all,
I've never seen a performance from a two-year-old like that, and we've seen some pretty special performances over the last decade or so at Royal Ascot. But she led them all a merry dance, and then she quickened again. She's very, very fast and very, very good. A couple of other standout moments. It was great to see the Queen have a winner with Dartmouth. It's the royal meeting, and to see the royal colours pass the line in first place is always special, special for the people there as well, and Her Majesty, who is such an advocate of racing and British racing. So yep. that was special,
particularly this year as well with her 90th birthday celebration.
Exactly, what a perfect way to cap that. Mm. And probably from a personal point of view, I was thrilled for Dougie Costello to land his breakthrough Group 1 win on Quiet Reflection. Dougie's been a friend of our families for many a years now. When he first came over from Ireland as a jump jockey, he started out with Dad, and of course they won the Triumph Hurdle together.
Yeah.
But he really is, first and foremost, he's a very, very good rider, but he's a rider with a huge work ethic, and that stood him in good stead. I think he'd probably agree if he hadn't worked as hard as he has, then he mightn't have got to where he's got. Mm. I mean, my sister was telling me a story. She can remember. She's a bit older than me. She can remember when Dougie first came over. He was such a hard worker that when he wasn't racing and he was in the yard, he'd drive the tractor and go and dump the muck in the tractor. You just don't get jockeys who do the nitty gritty like that. But he's always been such a hard worker, and we were all absolutely chuffed for him.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah, nice. Very nice. Give us one or two from the handicaps you think will win next time.
I thought this was a difficult question. I'd probably go with Brando in the Wokingham. He was just denied by Outback Traveller. Maybe beaten fair and square, but the race did unfold probably more towards the stand side. Brando was in the middle. If he was stand side, he might have beaten Outback Traveller. He might not, I don't know. But Kevin Ryan is a trainer who absolutely loves the Air Gold Cup. He's already won the race a few times. And given this horse seems to handle a bit of juice in the ground, I wouldn't be surprised if they kept him, wrapped him up in cotton wool and had a real crack at the Air Gold Cup. So Brando would be the one to take from the handicaps for me.
Okay. Televised stewards inquiries. Would you vote to remain or leave?
I've no strong opinion on it, Mark. Some people feel that they add to the viewing. Some people aren't too fussed. I don't think that what the jockeys say in the stewards' inquiries has a huge bearing on whether placings remain unaltered or whether placings are reversed. It doesn't really bother me. Have you got an opinion?
Not really, as long as it's the correct decision. I don't think it needs to be made into a spectacle and an event kind of thing. It should just be a case of, are the rules being obeyed? And if not, sort it out, reprimand the people that aren't obeying them. And I don't think it should be a big, you know, show and dance. Really,
yeah, I'd be similar to you.
Yeah. But like I say, I wouldn't really care either way, as long as the result was correct.
That's it.
Final question then of the Monday jury. Who's your fancy for the first all-weather Northumberland plate? Nice, easy one to finish with.
We're going to see a Northumberland plate with a different complexion, of course, this year. The first ever Northumberland plate to be run on the all-weather at the newly relayed Newcastle Racecourse, which I might add seems to have gone down a real hit with the professionals in the game. Will you give me two?
Go on then.
All right, you're too kind, Mark. You are too kind. First of all, I'll go with Ballynunty, who is a horse of Andrew Balding's, who I feel has probably been kept with this race specifically in mind. He's an improving son of Yates. He hasn't been seen since all-weather finals day when he was third behind Moonrise Landing in the Stayers event. And he was a little bit unlucky that day. He didn't get the best of runs through the race. Say, he hasn't been seen since, but this race is worth an awful lot of money, and given he looks so decent on the all-weather, you can see why they might have kept him for it. So he'll be the first one. I'd imagine he'll be shorter than the second selection, who's a horse of Tim Easter. He's my reward. This horse has only had two starts for Tim Easter. He finished second first time up, and then was a winner last time out at Haydock from Moscato. He's a son of Rail Link, who has already won on the all-weather for his last yard, and he's only a four-year-old. I think he might have a little bit more progress in him, and he could be an interesting one at a price. So Ballynunty and my reward.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sean. Enjoy this week's action.
Thanks very much, Mark.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
So that's the thoughts of Sean Quinn there, looking back at Royal Ascot for us and answering the questions in the Racing Post's Monday jury. We're now going to move on to Tuesday's action, and I'm joined in the studio by Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Good to see you back riding. You got your license back?
Riding a bit on a board course. I think I've said before, rides are hard to come by, to be honest. But look, I'm just delighted to be back riding. So can't complain. And all I can do is work hard and just hope for a bit of luck along the way.
Yeah. If you say you're riding in both codes, are you going to continue to ride in both? Or is it just until you get back in the swing of things? Or?
No, I probably will do. I mean, to be honest, this year my weight's very good. I'd say probably February time, I was nearly 10 stone. Whereas now I'm, most mornings I'm probably about 8-11, so it's come down lovely. But I just like to keep it there, because then it gives you, it's a bigger window as far as rides go.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to keep jumping if and when I can, because I just generally enjoy it, you know.
Do you have a preference, and do you prefer the jumping?
I think riding a nice horse on the reader codes is good.
Yeah.
But you know, riding a nice jumper, I think probably is maybe a bit more of a kick. But if you can ride a winner under any code, it's you know, it's just a job, really.
Yeah. Good stuff. Let's move on to Tuesday's action then. We're going to look at four races, one from each of the four domestic venues. Starting at Brighton in their 3:15, a class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds and older. Only a field of 6 here, unfortunately, but still a winner to be found. And I suppose a few people would be starting with Jinzan here, Paddy, who arrives here in winning form.
Yeah, Jinzan certainly does arrive here in winning form. He's got George Baker booked and has got a nice draw, but I just think maybe with the forecast and the weather they've had, the easing ground isn't going to be in his favour. He seems to be a chap who likes to hear his feet rattling. He's a course and distance winner, but I just think with 9 stone 10 on his back and a bit of ease in the ground, might just find him out. And I was going to go for the horse at the foot of the weights with George Buckle taking 5 off, Bahamian Sunrise. He's not a frequent winner, but John Gallagher's not having a bad year at all. George Buckle, very, very capable rider. And I just think this chap, more so, it's just the weight preference here, the weight pull, should I say, in a fairly uncompetitive race. Because if I can put a line through Jinzan with the ease in the ground, he's probably my next selection, Bahamian Sunrise.
What do you make of him on the ground then? I know you've mentioned your concern for Jinzan. His wins have come on a bit quicker surface. So.
Yeah, and like I say, the only thing that maybe pulls me in that direction is just getting the pull at the weights.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have 8 stone 10 to carry, and it's going to be pretty fine margins there tomorrow. And plus, on the other side, the John Gallagher team are in fairly reasonable order as well.
Okay. Bahamian Sunrise and the selection for Paddy in the 3:15 at Brighton. We're going to Beverly next for their 3:30. This one is a class 5 handicap. It's over a mile and a half. This one's for the 4-year-olds and older, a field of 8 here. So we would have an each way shape to the race if that's what you think, Paddy. But what will be your selection here?
The selection for me this time was going to be the Clyde Mulhall horse, Mark Aneed. I watched him run here the last day, and as can happen quite a lot around Beverly, he did just get trapped down the fence at a vital part, sort of between 2 and 1 down, when he really needed to get out and get a run, and ended up finishing a very close up 4th, and jockey couldn't really do a whole lot, but ran well in this particular race last year, and he is a course and distance winner. He's £3 lower than his success last year, and drawn 3, he's got a lovely handy draw there to just go and get a box seat, and it's a reasonably uncompetitive race, if I'm honest. And Aneed was my selection with Joe Dyle taking the 3 off, but if conditions stayed as they were, just keep an eye on a horse a little bit further down the weights, St. Thomas. He loves it round Beverly, but he really does like to hear his feet rattle. But John Mackey's having a good summer, and Joe Fanning's booked a ride, so he would be my preference. But I'd like to see Clyde Mulhall take this one with Aneed.
Yeah, Aneed was 4th over a mile and a quarter last time as well, and remains on the same mark, like you say, previous course and distance winner, so the step back up in trip probably suits as well.
And, you know, I think he's got a cracking chance if he can just get a little bit more luck and running tomorrow.
All right, that's the 3:30 at Beverly then. Moving on to the 6:30 at Newton Abbot next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over the extended 2.5 miles. It's almost 2 miles and 5 furlongs, really. We've got a field of 10 here, and a pretty good race to look forward to this one, Paddy.
Yeah, it is, and it's competitive, and some nice money on offer, and as there is on the whole car tomorrow. I mean, even the first race, the novice hurdle, is 11.5 grand guaranteed. You know, it's decent money for this time of year on a jumping track, and they've been well rewarded with runners. And there was 2 I was interested in here, Mark. There was the horse of Charlie Mann's Go On Out of That, who's looking for his 4-timer, but he is rapidly climbing up the weights now, but this 8-year-old is in the form of his life, because earlier in the year he'd been really struggling and just running reasonable races without looking like he was going to go on a run like this. But like I say, he has won his last three. Harry Bannister gets on well with him, but I just think up in grade, it's going to be a real test for him tomorrow. And I was going to take a chance on the Chris Gordon horse, Come On Ginger. Now, this chap isn't the easiest to win with. His win rate isn't fantastic. But that said, Chris Gordon horses are in good order. He's travelling all over the country, Chris Gordon, this summer to try and get winners. And, you know, it's got to be applauded, because, you know, he trains right down there in Sussex. So it's a lot of travelling. But, you know, if he sees a suitable race, he will travel and he'll run. And he's well able to train. Tom Cannon generally rides the bulk of Chris Gordon's jumpers. They're quite a good combination. And this chap, he's a good jumper. He's a good traveller. But like I say, Tom Cannon does know him well, but, you know, he isn't entirely straightforward, but he's won over this trip, and I just think in a competitive race, he's on a lovely race and weight there, and he would be my slight preference over going out of that.
Come On Ginger, then, the selection for Paddy there, and we finish off in the 7:40 at Leicester, which is a Class 5 Fillies handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of nine here, Paddy, and I suppose we could start with Phoenix Beat there at the top of the weights, given that she's been knocking on the door, finished twice the last second.
She has been
second the last twice, rather.
Yeah, and been very consistent, not doing anything wrong at all, and same thing can be said for the Gay Kellaway team. They're in pretty good order. My selection here was, I'm a big fan of the Chris Walyard. I think he's a very, very shrewd operator. Ted Durkin and George Baker tend to ride the bulk of the more fancied ones for him. And this one's only having its fifth run. It's had a couple of spins on the all-weather, a couple of spins on grass. And although she is drawn out deep enough in eight, she's certainly going the right way. And Chris is just freshening her up slightly. It's been 41 days since her last run, but is certainly progressive. And for me, maybe slightly more progressive than the bulk of this field here. Like I said, Ted does tend to ride, and George Baker tend to ride the more fancy ones for the yard. He doesn't rush his horses, but Matilda's Law seems to certainly be getting hold of the act. And off 8 stone 13, just looks like could be capable if handling the testing conditions there tomorrow.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there as well, because third on reappearance, first time over a mile. Look to improve for the step up in trip. Will obviously be fitter here as well. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from there with Matilda's Law.
I mean, conditions are going to be pretty great. I was surprised now at the amount of runners they actually got, because obviously last Thursday their meeting was waterlogged off. And I read admin this morning on Going Reports, they've had over 100 mil in the last 9 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable rain, and they had even more rain last night. So, but they're soft, heavy in places, so it has dried out, but still, Leicester heavy is heavy ground.
Yeah.
So that will take a bit of handling tomorrow.
Mm. All right, Paddy, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then before you go. If you'll just spin us through your four selections then for Tuesday's racing.
The 3:15 at Brighton, my selection there was, and it was only tentative to be honest, Mark, because Ginzan is the horse in form, but I think he does like top of the ground. Bahamian Sunrise is in similar sort of profile, but just with the pull of the weights and George Buckle's five off, he was my selection there, Bahamian Sunrise. The 3:30 at Beverly, I was with Aneed in this one, the Clyde Mulhall horse. Joe Dial taking the £3 off, and he's a course and distance winner. Needs a little bit more luck than he had the last day, but he's got a lovely draw. Slight step up and trip. He was my selection, with the second preference being St. Thomas if conditions stayed as they were. And at Newton Abbott, I was with the Chris Gordon horse, Come On Ginger. Isn't a major win candidate, but he's very consistent. Gives connections plenty of fun. And this is quite a competitive race, and he was just my slight preference over the Charlie Mann horse, Go On Out of That. And 7:40, I was with the Chris Wall horse, Matilda's Law. Just looks to be going in the right direction. And if handling the testing conditions there tomorrow evening, could be capable of defying that 8 stall and getting off the mark for Chris Wall and Ted Durkin.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck, and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Beverly and Brighton in the afternoon, Leicester and Newton Abbott in the evening, on the domestic front, and we also have racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe on Tuesday night as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.